Greetings, everyone, in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm thankful to be in the fellowship of all these dear brothers and sisters, and thankful for our visitors here this morning. I have on my heart today a message out of Proverbs chapter 8. You want to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. If we could, we could all stand together and pray as a blessing. Lord God, we stand here before you this morning. And we're thankful, Father, for calling us out of darkness, Lord. Thankful for these precious brethren and sisters, Lord, for the holiness that I see in the lives of those around me, Lord. I'm inspired this morning, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work you have done and are doing, and in whom we trust you will yet do. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy and grace. And God, as we read these words, In these books we have in our hand, Lord, help us to see beyond the written word. Help us to see and discern the very heart of the author. Lord, we see that this book, if we read it, and it is illuminated by your word, it will read us. So Lord God, give us hearts of understanding today, and move in our midst. Stir in our hearts, Lord. Help us to not just see this as a book of do's and don'ts, but as an instruction manual of life to get home, to make it home into your presence forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was to Concord Couples Night on Friday night, and Brother Dan Neuenschwander had a lot of thoughts out of Proverbs 8 and 9, and I asked my wife if I should, I feel like I need to just share something else today, and she told me I should just keep going with the direction I'm going, so I don't know why that happens sometimes, but I think it's either, it feels like the confirmation from the Lord, but then other times it feels like when someone else shares something you were going to share, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails a little bit. But the Word of God is, I often think, you know, Jesus compared it to bread. He said, he is the bread of life, and we never get tired of going to the table to eat. You know, we every day we sit down at the table, and we never get tired of it, and it's because we're hungry. So today, if we're hungry, we can, the Word of God is bread for our souls. So chapter 8 of Proverbs, the entire book of Proverbs talks about wisdom. I've been reading through Proverbs, and it's a lot of repetition somewhat, but the writer, Solomon, in Proverbs, he wrote in chapter 1 that the reason for this is so that we could know wisdom and instruction and to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. These words are to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And then he said, for they shall be an ornament of grace around thy head. And if we will hear the counsel of God, we will be able to see into God's word by his spirit, and we'll be able to see the heart of God in the things that he says. The men without understanding in Jesus' day, when he spoke in parables, they didn't. They didn't understand the meaning. They didn't understand the meaning, and neither do men today. Do they understand the meaning of the parables of Christ without the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from God? And chapter 8 of Proverbs, I'd like to point out as we talk about this, that this is in contrast to chapter 7. Chapter 7 talks about a young man who gets seduced by a harlot, but that strange woman of verse 5 in chapter 7, that could be anything. It can be a false church. It can be false doctrine. It can be worldliness. It can be pleasures. It can be a lot of things that can seduce a person. But chapter 8 is titled The Call of Wisdom, and it is in contrast to chapter 7. Contrast to that man that was just led away and by all of the things that he saw and heard and smelled and experienced. And he was like a fool. So we're going to be talking about wise men and foolish men today. And I know that's a, I thought at first, oh my, that's, we've all heard about wisdom and foolishness. But I think it's good for our children just to hear the difference over and over and over, our children to hear the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Jesus said, don't call anyone a fool. Don't ever call anybody a fool. And that was how I always, you know, when I heard the word fool, I think all of us were taught, don't call anyone a fool. And we shouldn't call anyone a fool, but we need to be wise as to what is foolish and what is wisdom. And when Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6, he said, this is what he said, Matthew chapter 6. No, it's in 5. Verse 22, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And I think what he's doing there, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, if your brother has aught against you, go be reconciled to him. If you read that backwards, if you read it backwards, you read about a man who is praying and there's something in his heart. There's a relationship issue. And if he doesn't go make that right, if he doesn't go and deal with that thing, there's a day coming when that will get worse, and it will get worse. And pretty soon, he will call that man a fool. And then pretty soon, he'll say, I don't know, Raca, what that means exactly, but... And then he's angry. And then chapter 20, verse 21 says, you have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Pretty soon it leads to killing. So it's calling someone a fool is the pathway to murder. It's one of the, and Jesus said, don't be in that place, in that I can't think of the right word, that downward trajectory of your feelings, and then it's words, and then it's physical. He says, don't, when you get to the place where you yell at somebody and say, you fool, or you this, or you that, or, well, he says, you're in danger of hellfire at that point. And so let's recognize those. I think what he's saying here, let's recognize those feelings that will lead to murder. Let's recognize those feelings. But today, we don't lightly call someone a fool, but we can surely, by the word of God, by the authority of God's word, and the mandate that God has given to the church, we can call foolish actions and foolish living what it is, as we contrast it with the wise. So, as we begin to read in chapter 8, we'll just start there. Doth not wisdom cry? Remember, this is in contrast to verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's verse 27, chapter 7. Then verse 1 of chapter 8 says, does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors, upon you, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. There again, the calling someone a fool isn't what Jesus meant by that. Jesus called the Pharisees fools. And he's saying here, foolish men are fools. Be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. This is wisdom speaking. This is the call. This is the cry of wisdom. Verse 8. Proverbs 8:8, all the ways of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And wisdom would cry that there's two things we need today, and that's the fear of God and humility. Wisdom says, I hate pride. Pride is adverse. Pride is opposite of wisdom. Pride and arrogancy. And a froward mouth do I hate, says wisdom. A froward mouth is just twisted speech, perverted speech. And, you know, As you work amongst the men of the world, they love to say things every day that are suggestive of other things. And their speech is perverted. And I'd like to challenge each one of us. If someone does that freely in your presence after having known you for a year, why that person ought to check their heart, check their life. Because those men, they start to, not all of them, but most of them start to apologize for their twisted speech in the presence of men that have the wisdom of the Lord. Counsel is mine, says wisdom, verse 14, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I love them that love me. And we need to remember also that wisdom, and when we look at John chapter 1, the Word of God is wisdom, and God is the Word, and God is Jesus. They're all one. So when we read that, I love them that love me, you know, our thoughts go to where Jesus said that, I love those that love me. The Father will love them that loves me. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And when we see that if we embrace the wisdom of God and the Word of God and the commandments of God and the salvation of God, that is riches. That is true riches. And it, verse 18 says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches. Durable riches. When a people that have eternal life, they are interested in durable riches. And even in their everyday life, they're interested in durable things. They like to do things right. They like to make something that isn't going to need to be fixed too soon. They like durable things. The word durable riches, I love that term. Durable riches, a durable life. We like durable houses and plans that are durable, based on God's word, based on common sense, and durable riches. And I think that as I look at the scene, there's a man from California called me last week. And he sells cabinets, and he's looking for a cabinet maker in Indiana. And I told him, well, that's a long way, and I don't know. I asked him, is there a decrease in the number of cabinet shops just in the last 5 years, a noticeable decrease? And he said, I think there is. I think so. I think there is. And it's because all these men that grew up without video games and screens and the woke agenda in the 80s and 90s, they still grew up and they started a shop, and they were interested in making durable goods and working with their hands and learning a trade. But if you go to those shops in society, there's no children working with them. Their sons are at the university or they won't work or something. And when those men get to be older and they quit, their shop shuts down. And that's what's happening by the thousands. And today, as our communities, the Anabaptist communities, the Amish Mennonite communities, are spreading all over the country. I mean, you can't go to a state where there isn't one. And I visited the the community where down at Jackson, Brother Paul Weaver's church there asked me to come there for a couple's night in a weekend there. And it's one of the poorest communities that you will ever see. Almost every house is junk laying around. I've seen poor communities in the deep south. That community is the poorest that I've seen. It's as poor as any of it I've seen. There's a lot of poverty there. It's not close to a big city. But what do you think happens when there's 40 families move in there with godly wisdom? They just prosper. They don't need a good economy. They just prosper. They start little businesses and they do things. It's because they have durable riches. And that very ability needs wisdom to control it. Wisdom to throttle it, to govern it. Otherwise, it becomes, when people get wealthy, they sometimes forget God. And that's why that very element of wisdom is going to shine brighter and brighter in the coming days, because the tradesmen of, there's no tradesmen growing up in society. And if you're a young man and you know a trade, that's why when I see young men out and about and they're talking about going to college, I tell them, skip it. Stay out of those universities. They're education camps for the devil. And learn a trade and you will do fine. Learn a trade. But that very aspect of our people is our greatest downfall. Because a young man can go out, it's easier than ever before, probably in the history of humanity, for a young man to go out and make a living. And we need to understand wisdom cries, verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Wisdom is better than gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures, or that means treasuries. I'll fill your treasuries with durable riches. And that might include some extra money, but wisdom, without the government of wisdom, we will become a fool. And we will go in the ditch and we're not anchored. And we will become unholy. Verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, because before his works of old. The Lord, wisdom is from the Lord. Wisdom is of God, and we need to get close to God, and he will give us his wisdom. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the fountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. I'm always intrigued when I go, you can look across, you stand beside an ocean and you can look, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 miles across there, and there's a wave comes up and there's a little line where the water stops. God, the wisdom of God made that decree. He commanded where the water should stop. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was with him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Finally, after all those, I don't know if you want to call them years or all the ages of whatever was before creation, wisdom was with God. Wisdom was with God in wisdom. Finally, found someone that she could communicate with, and that's God's people. Wisdom finally found herself with the sons of men, and wisdom said, my delights were with the sons of men. And I'd like to say today that wisdom's delight is still with the sons of men. And when you see people, when we trade, when we fall for the devil's counterfeits, for all of God's durable riches, wisdom is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved. And that's what people do. They trade those durable riches that they could have in Christ, and they go after all the counterfeits of the world, and they think they have a good life. They think they're happy, and they're so wrong. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. We heard a little this morning about sanctification daily. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, he talked about the evils of today. He said that sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Each day has its own trouble. Each day has its own trouble, and daily. It says, blessed is the man that watches daily at the gates of wisdom. So we have trouble every day. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow because you have enough trouble for today. You worry about today. and there's wisdom at the gate that is available for us to overcome that evil, to overcome all the trouble in our life, to overcome in Christ Jesus. The wisdom of God is available for us. And he says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. Daily. You know, we read different things about daily. We should, Jesus instructed us not to, you know, get too involved with worrying about tomorrow, because he said, I'll take care of you. And daily we are surrounded by God and have the resources, all the resources of God are ours to overcome our daily trouble. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And that word love, that last verse there, those that hate me love death. In other words, what do we need to do to hate wisdom? It's to embrace foolishness, to embrace things that fools do, to do things that we could read about in the history books that don't work, to go the way of my own ideas and I won't hear the counsel of others. That's to think that I can make this on my own, to refuse to bow to God and repent of my sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and just give up my life. That's the work of a fool. And he said, if you don't do that, you love death. And that word love there means actually like to court. You're courting death. You're a man who is walking in foolishness and setting aside the commandment of God. He's courting death. And if you think about Stephen here, he's courting a young lady. And why are you courting her, Stephen? Could you tell us? That's maybe a hard question. I'll tell you why. She caught your eye, and you're pretty sure you'd like to spend your life with her, right? Okay. That's what men do when they're courting death. They're saying, this looks pretty good to me. I think I'd like to spend forever with death. They that hate me are courting death. You think about someone arm in arm with their sweetheart going toward, and that sweetheart is death. And the devil's got it all dressed up as something other than death. He's got it all dressed up as something other than death. And that wisdom, even Ephesians 3:10 says that God's people are, well, first of all, I'd like to look at John chapter 1, verse 18. It says that no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ came. That word declared means interpreted. Jesus Christ has interpreted God, and he is wisdom. So when we align our lives with God's word, this word interprets God. Jesus Christ's life, when we study his sayings, his life, his words, he's interpreting God. And he could, and he's calling now on us to interpret God. He's calling on us by our lives that my life would be, and it's called holiness. It's called it's called the Christian life. And even angels, Ephesians. I think where's that verse where it says that it's in Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The intent of God, by making wisdom, his wisdom available to us, is that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places And I don't know what that means, if that is angels or if that's demons or if it's both. Maybe someone would have a thought on that. Ephesians 3:10. It says that the wisdom of God is known to them, even to them, through the church. Known by the church means through the church. Through our lives now, that wisdom, God wants us to demonstrate that wisdom through our lives, even to angels, even to... And there's so many verses in Proverbs that talk about wisdom and the characteristics of wisdom. And we can see in, I'll just point a few out here. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And there's a lot of verses about a fool and how a fool resists wisdom. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs 9:8. Thank you. And there's, you know, and you contrast that concept or that character trait of God's people that hear rebuke and hear even criticism and hear counsel. And because it's just amazing, you can learn from some man in 10 minutes something that it took him 20 years to learn. It's just so amazing. And we do that all the time in certain things, unless it comes to other things that I don't want to hear any counsel on. And that's how men are. So the wise man loves him that rebukes him or reproves him. Characteristics of wise men are a wise man controls his tongue. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not wisdom. No, I'm sorry. There wanteth not sin. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise, it says in Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 11:30 says that he that winneth souls is wise. The characteristics of a wise person will lead him is engaged in winning souls. Wise people make friends with wise people. He that walketh with wise men, Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. When we get close to Jesus, we'll become more like him. The wisdom of God would lead us in that direction. Both wise and foolish people are known by the friends that they choose. A wise man builds his house on the rock, we read in Matthew 7:24. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And when he builds on that sure foundation, and someone chips away at his foundation, and someone is trying to upset him or uproot him or And he chips away at his foundation. All he finds is more rock. And that's why that man doesn't have to be offended when others chip away at his foundation. And the rains can descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon that house and it won't fall because it's founded upon a rock. That is the wise man that Jesus talked about, contrasted to the foolish man that built his house on the sand. You can build a house on the sand. You can build a house on the sand and it looks like a house and it'll probably even stay straight for some time and even look like a nice house. But when the floods came and that house fell, and great was the fall of it. Wise person, wise persons are pointed out in Matthew 25, where the wise and the foolish virgins that the foolish had no oil, extra oil in their lamps. They just had enough for today, and they weren't worried about tomorrow. They didn't have the wisdom to look beyond today, and everything seemed good. And and you see that with people. Sometimes they get all excited, their sins are forgiven, and they found a new experience. And you know, when we get close to God and we come to the end of ourselves, and there's a blessing in that. But unless we read God's word and build our house on the foundation and actually build a house, why, it doesn't last. It seems like the Christianity that we're surrounded with, that's their testimony, is, well, they had an experience with the Lord, and, well, praise the Lord, we need to have an experience with the Lord. And they get on that foundation, and it seems like they move their living room furniture in there, and they maybe set up a bathtub, but they never build any walls, and they never put a roof on their house, and it's just, they just live on that foundation. And the wisdom of God would have us to build a house. The wisdom of God would have us to fill our lamps with oil and get together and talk about life. But most people don't want to do that. And I'm thankful that I'm surrounded with brethren that desire that. There's so many other characteristics of wise persons in Proverbs, and I'm not going to have time to go through all of them that I have noted here. I'll just do one. Proverbs 14:15 says that a foolish man believes everything he hears, but the prudent or the wise man looketh well to his going. The simple man or the foolish man believes everything he hears. And in the areas of gossip, in the areas of all the information that's out there, we're living in an age of information that's unparalleled. There's so much information out there, and there's so many people who are saying so many things, and the foolish man just believes everything he hears. There's lessons in nature. He said, consider the ant. Think about the ant, how wise the ant is. And consider another place in Proverbs chapter 30 says there that the ant makes her way into the spider, The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Think about that. Think about how a poor, wretched man could come into the throne room of God. Think about that. A spider, he's saying here, if you don't do that, well, you're not as smart as a spider. A spider is able to go into a king's palace. And we can too. We can too by heeding God's word and taking hold of God's word. When he said, come unto me, it's too good to be true that he'd wash my sins away and call me his own and take me into himself. It's too good to be true, but it is. It's true. Be as wise as that little spider. And he talks about lions and ants and locusts and conies and all those things. If we study what they do, they're a lot smarter than a lot of men are. We have we have examples of wise men in the scripture, you know, and there's always, whenever we think about wise men in the scriptures, we seldom do we not think about someone like Joseph or Stephen. Stephen, it says that in Acts chapter 6, when they went about to ordain the seven, it says they were looking out and looking for seven men of honest report, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and he was one of them that they chose. He was full of wisdom. He went on to preach a sermon when they killed him there in chapter 7 of Acts. He went on to preach a sermon, and he testified of Joseph in verse 9 of Acts chapter 7, 9 and 10. He said, God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. It's God that gave it to him. He testified it was God that gave Joseph wisdom. Joshua in Deuteronomy 34, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, it says that Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses saw that and recognized that, and he laid hands upon him. And we read of Daniel. Daniel in first chapter of Daniel 17, first chapter of Daniel verse 17 through 21, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And it is by the word of God, and it is by obedience to God and faith in God that he imparts his wisdom. And when we dabble with other things, it wars away at that wisdom. And it wars away at wisdom when our security and our devotions and our commitments and our vision doesn't include God. We start to lose. David behaved himself wisely, more than all the servants of Saul. Jesus himself, as a child, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Luke 2:40, Matthew 13:54 says that Jesus taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom Where did he get such wisdom? It came from God. How do I get wisdom today? Proverbs says it is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God. And out in society today, people don't. You see people that openly tell you they don't. There's no fear of God there. Come to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus Christ and allow Him to wash us from our filth. And we need to open our mouth and confess Him and believe on Him and receive Him into our hearts and lives. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And when He's with us, we all know what it's like when you're training someone to do something and he's doing this and there's someone standing over his shoulder watching. And he's very aware of these watchful eyes as he's learning a new job to do. And he makes better decisions, and he learns faster, and he's more efficient when he knows someone is watching him. That's the Lord in our lives. If there's an awareness that God is with me, I will become wiser, and I will make better decisions. We ask God for it. That's pretty simple. James says, if any man lack wisdom, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God wants to give it to us. We need to study God's word, and we'll find wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6 says, keep therefore, talking about the commandments of God, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. A wise and understanding people. And that doesn't mean an educated or an accomplished people. Wise and understanding people means those that have given their lives to God and said, I don't know anything. Lord, would you teach me? And He has different ways of teaching us. He has His word, allowing brethren, getting close to a group of brethren. The strength of, that's one of the animals that I think it's the locusts that, in Proverbs, it says that they're just a small animal, but they go in large bands, and they can get things done. And we will also do better when we seek to be incorporated into the local body of Christ and become one with the brethren and hear them and speak to them and glean and gain understanding from the scriptures and the will of God for my life. That's another way God has given us to get wisdom. There's so many verses. I don't know which ones to. Keeping God's commandment, hearing instruction, seeking it early and diligently. Back to Proverbs 8 there, seeking it early in verse 17, those that seek me early shall find me. Early in your life, early in situations that need wisdom, And it also means diligently. Seek. If we seek for God and seek for answers in His Word by prayer, seeking wisdom by prayer, let's not forget prayer. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Let's not forget humility. Let's not forget humility. With the humble, there is wisdom. And it is, and then back to Proverbs 8. Back to Proverbs 8, if we go on down to chapter 9, verse 1, that says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And that most Bibles will take you to James 3:17 from that verse. James 3:17 is considered to be the seven pillars of wisdom. I'll just start, and then I'll start in verse 13 through 18. We'll talk about that a little bit, and then I will close. Who is a wise man? James 3:13. And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And if you look at those words are pretty easy to understand. A pillar, the foundation is the fear of God, and the pillars of this house of wisdom is set upon that foundation, and it is first pure. A pure heart, a pure motive, a pure desires, made pure by Jesus Christ and His Word. The pure in heart shall see God in everything. And the opposite of that is impure. And that will war against wisdom. If you want to go to impurity in your life, we're not only courting death, but we're warring against wisdom. Peaceable. We all know what peaceable means. Someone who is at peace, and someone who makes peace, someone who seeks peace. The opposite of that is striving. Gentle. Gentleness. Consider the opposite of gentleness. It wars against wisdom. Easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. Opposite of that is, you know what? Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Take the opposite of all those. And go with hypocrisy. Go with partiality. Take away mercy. And we'll be left not knowing which way to turn. God's not in it. And the last verse, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I studied that verse this morning, and I think it's saying that uh, A man that makes peace, there is a fruit of righteousness in his life that he uses to make more peace, I think is what it means. And I have spent many years courting death in my life, and I long to see what God has yet for me. I'm thankful for what he has done in my life and in all of your lives, and I'm thankful to be in your midst, and I'm excited to see what God has for us in the future, because all the battles that we faced, there's more coming, and there's more mountains, and there's more valleys. The wisdom that God gave us to face yesterday's trials will work for the future ones. And I'm encouraged with that. We don't need to reinvent anything. We just keep doing what we're doing. God has a deeper wisdom for us. I'm convinced, I'm sure he does. And he has more understanding he wants to give us. He wants us to go deeper with him and become more like Jesus Christ and display the wisdom of God to a lost and dying world. God bless you.